Good evening, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zoom, and you can also visit our website, which is www.theorganicview.com. If you have any questions or would like to connect with us, you can simply post a question on our wall on Facebook, send a tweet to @TheOrganicView, or contact me directly at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. This evening's show is brought to you by Eden Foods, the most trusted name in certified organic clean food. Shop online at edenfoods.com and enter the coupon code ORGVIEW, that's ORGVIEW, when prompted during checkout to receive 20% off any regularly priced items, excluding cases. For other promotional offers, please visit theorganicview.com's website. Hello and welcome to the show. I had so many listeners reach out to me to do a live evening edition, and so I have the pleasure of welcoming back world-renowned animal healer Laura Lassiter, who over the years has become not only a friend, but an inspiration to me. So I would like to welcome back Laura Lassiter. Good evening, Laura, and welcome back.
Thank you, June, so much. And I would like to take a moment before we start to thank everyone who is taking their time, whether it be right now or later on when they have time to listen to the archive shows. And thank you for inviting us into your homes and sharing this time with you. So thank you very much.
And I also would like to thank all of the people on Facebook, on Twitter, and all the different groups that are trying to raise awareness. Every single tweet, every single post, every single thing that you do really does make a difference. I can't tell you how many people are just beginning to find out about these horrors. And that's actually where I want to begin our discussion tonight. Laura, can you explain to our listeners why this is going on?
Well, there's two sides to this. And first of all, I'm going to approach it from the human aspect. And then I will approach it from the from what the dolphins are saying, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
But first of all, everything that I'm being told by the dolphins and also the research that I have been doing over the past several years, because this isn't the first year that I have been actively involved in this dolphin hunt, is that the marine and aquarium industry truly are driving this. Now, that can also include the World Association of Zoos and Aquariums, other known as WAZA, W-A-Z-A, and also the Japanese has an association of zoos and aquariums called JAZA, J-A-Z-A. And to give the audience a little bit of a background here so we know who all the players are, both of those groups are participating members in the Taiji Whale Museum. Now, the connection there is that the Taiji Whale Museum sponsors the drive captures and the killings of dolphins, period. And they even serve dolphin meat to the patrons of the museum. Now, WAZA does nothing to police its own member organizations. So right there, we've got an issue, because when we have something like this going on, it's very challenging to have a chain of command or to know that, okay, if we've got an issue over here with this organization, who do they answer to? And or if there's nothing, any guidelines or protocols set into place that requires accountability or liability, whichever the case is, everybody's sitting there at the table looking at each other, pointing fingers, okay? So that's one of the issues. The second issue, as far as taking responsibility, and some people might think this is indirect, but you know what? We, as a buyer of a ticket to a marine park or to SeaWorld or to a plethora of other marine entertainment centers, we are actually driving the supply, I mean the demand for this kind of activity. If there wasn't a demand, there would not be any need for any supply chain. So from you know, a human aspect, this is kind of what's going on. And also money, because the little albino, which I'm going to call her Angel. I know that I think Captain Watson named her Bambi, but the advocates named her Angel. Her price range is $500,000. That's a lot of money.
Now, there's some rumors. There are some rumors that are circulating that she is blind and deaf, and that because she is considered to be untrainable, that, and this is, mind you, this is just what's circulating on social media, that they are going to kill her and make it look like an accident. And that has been a very, very big concern for so many people. It's a concern for me. It's a concern for so many people. I can't even tell you how many people have been talking about this and have been trying to get an answer.
Well, I talked with her, and I have had extensive background working with wild animals and communicating with them and having it be validated, especially at Big Cat Rescue. And so I talked with her. She is not blind. She is not deaf. Now, she does have, with her eyes, Jean, she doesn't exactly see as well, but she is not blind. She is an albino, and right now, to bring you up to date, I think she's being kept in the Taji Whale Museum. Their plan right now is long term because she is albino. She's very shy. She's not what I would call an alpha personality. When I do animal communication sessions, I always start out with getting their personality traits and their attributes and their characteristics, and you know, so I can validate that with the human. And so she is not an alpha or an aggressive type spirit at all. She's very innocent and very timid. She's actually what I would call a peacemaker. This is one of her life purposes when I was talking with her, is to, and I know we're kind of jumping the gun here, but since you asked, is to bring awareness, because she is white. And of course, you know, anybody that enters a dark room, if you want to see what's going on, we turn on the light, correct?
Of course.
And so this is kind of what she has given her life to help us right now at our critical point in time, because we really are, as a human species, at a turning point in which we have the opportunity to make different decisions than we have in the past, in order to evolve or to advance in our awareness. And her reason, her main reason right now, is to really bring awareness as to our behavior, how we are not cooperating. We're still competing with them. And so, again, let me go back just a little bit. With her being so timid and shy, I don't know who is saying that she's blind and deaf, but she is not. Now, she says she does rest her eyes. She has to rest her eyes more than the other dolphins. So through the day, she doesn't keep them open as much, you know, like slightly open. But at night, she says that it's better for her eyes, that her eyes are not as sensitive, you know, at night. Of course, my guess being albino, that would make sense, because I think that's a trait with albinos. And so they might be misinterpreting what they're seeing, but basically that is what she told me about the blind and, you know, deaf issues when you brought that up. I understand also that they had a couple of other dolphins in where she was, and they moved them because they were stealing her food. And because, you know, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but she's not sick, but very, very stressed. She's very confused, in a state of shock. At this point, I would even say post-traumatic stress, and that can upset everything, as you know, because with an animal, their environment is very critical, and anyone who even has an animal companion knows that when you change the environment, and you know, like with kitties, it doesn't take much to stress them out. And so when we are dealing with very, very highly intelligent, aware beings, as the dolphins are, this has thrown them really into a very chaotic, disoriented world in which they also now, you have to understand, they're observing other family members being murdered, and they sense the fear, they sense the terror, they know, you know, they're panicking, a state of high anxiety. And so her nervous system is very, very much on what I would call hypersensitive right now. She's on high alert. And also, you know, animals tend not to eat a lot, or they just behave differently when they are in a strange environment, let alone being captive, and also being around strangers. You know, if we were taken out of our environment by force and treated the way that these dolphins have been treated, I think we would also be in shock, to say the least. And so she is right now trying to adjust, if you will, to her environment, and you know, and again, fear for her own safety. She's very, very scared for her own safety.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, when you look at the pictures from Sea Shepherd and the Cove Guardians and just so many different organizations that are circulating the images that are captured by very brave people, such as the Cove Guardians, who are out there risking their lives, these pictures are heartbreaking. You see that the water is red. You see pictures of the fishermen, just the way that they're hurting these animals, and it's just awful. And there was one picture in particular that is in my mind of a dolphin that it has a tear coming down its eye, and every time I look at it, my heart just breaks. It's just really horrible. And you could tell that just the images, that they are in fear. I mean, they do not look happy, obviously. They look scared.
Well, I'd like to back up just for a moment, inform the audience, in case they are not aware of this, that India last year was the first country that actually extended non-human rights to the dolphins. They have been recognized as deserving rights because India has recognized the intelligence and the awareness that dolphins have. There have been more scientific studies done on whales and dolphins to prevent for animal rights, for non-human rights, because of their level of intelligence and their awareness. Now, that being said, I want to proceed to, if it's all right with you, June, to, if we acknowledge or accept that these dolphins are sentient beings, albeit they're in a different form than we are, that they still have the intelligence, the awareness, They have communication. Yes, it's different than ours, but we all share a common form of communication, which everyone, as you can see, is coming from their hearts. That is the language that all of us have as a human species, a collective consciousness, have forgotten. The animals, this is where they communicate. They're all heart. And so as we now accept that possibility or reality that they are sentient beings, let's go on and talk about how then these dolphins are being hunted and rounded up and killed, because I think that as we go along, if we think of ourselves being placed in the same position, then, you know, I think that can shift some perspectives here, because, again, we're talking about an intelligence here, that has consciousness, awareness. And so they are not without feelings. They are not without emotions, deep emotions, I might add. And they are even more aware than we are, because animals, their environment informs them, gives them the information that they need, and they have never really disconnected from who they are, in that meaning that they've never disconnected from their being. We as human beings have. We've shut down our hearts. You know, some of us have even shut down our brains. But these animals haven't. So they're very, very, very aware of their environment. And it is everything to them. It is critical, period. So as we now look at how they're being hunted and everything, I know that I think it was last year there was a scientific paper published in the Journal of Applied Animal Welfare Science. And it was by a veterinarian and a behavioral analysis of the dolphin killing methods that are currently used in the drug hunt. Now, this was before the new killing method that was introduced here. And the new killing method is intended to improve upon the old method. But now, remember, again, we're talking about very aware, intelligent beings here as we go along here. I want us to keep that in mind, that every – and it's going to be hard to listen to this, and I understand that. And if you've seen the spear that they use, it's horrendous. But anyway, the new killing method is supposed to reduce time to death, meaning that that was why they originally implemented this new killing method, which involves destroying the spinal cord with repeated insertion of a metal rod. Now, remember, these mammals are in the water, thrashing and everything, because they know what's going on. They're literally fighting for their lives. And the fear that they not only experience, but collectively, because they feel the fear of what's going on with their family members and with the other community members. And so they're all connected this way. Even when they're waiting to die, even when, you know, they don't kill them right away and they go through the selection process, these dolphins are very aware of the feelings that these people that are doing this are putting off. And so it is terror. It is not fear. It is terror. And so as the metal, and by the way, this metal rod makes no attempt, this new killing method makes no attempt to damage the brain, which would at least end their consciousness. That's very, very important. This is one of the reasons that this is so inhumane. And because basically what they are doing is thrashing the hunters through the bloody water, which the dolphins are also very aware of, among fully conscious, squealing thrashing dolphins and who have been trapped. There is no way of escape for them, okay? And they're being, you know, systematically executed among their family and friends. And as they sit there, or the animals, the dolphins are waiting to be killed. We have to understand that they're taking all of this in. They're seeing family members being murdered right in front of them. These are, again, intelligent, aware beings. Now, in between time, you know, the hunters are having a very difficult time getting the spike into the spine, as you can imagine, because these dolphins are not sitting still for them, of course. So and by the way, this is always a dolphin's spinal nerve when they push this metal rod into the spine right behind its head into the neck. But the nerve is encased in the spinal bone. And so it's very, very difficult, even with the first shove, to penetrate where it needs to be, the spinal bone. It just, I'm not sure how often that happens. And then when the dolphin is making, real vigorous movements during the insertion of the rod, the hunter almost has to keep, you know, poking it. It's almost like, you know, I know I have a very challenging time giving blood, you know, and I don't like even that tiny needle being stuck into my arm several times. You know, they just keep pushing it in, pushing it in, pushing it in. And so, and that's probably not a good analogy, but it's you can just imagine what the dolphin is feeling now, or
They're being massacred. I mean, it's just they're being bludgeoned by a weapon, and just the lack of consciousness to do this to any living being is just unconscionable. Go ahead.
Even the slaughterhouse killing rules require rapid bleed out in Japan, and you know, but yet they're not doing that with the dolphins. And from the papers, the research that I've been doing is that they also the livestock guidelines unfortunately do not apply to the whale and dolphin killings. However, because that is governed by the Japan Fisheries Agency, June, their perspective on dolphins and whales is they're nothing more than seafood with blowholes. That's how they consider the dolphins and the whales. So, but they wouldn't even, because the Japan's own slaughter guidelines for livestock require that the creature being killed must be made to lose consciousness and must be killed by methods proven to minimize as much as possible any agony to the animal. And so the question then arises, well, why are they doing this, you know? And also the Welfare Act, the Animal Welfare Act that they had in 1973, that they, the law for humane treatment and management of animals, okay, also talks about how, even though it's not specified, that it talks about the spirit of the law, that we should not deny that we have to use and kill animals for our living. Instead, we must pay enough respect to the life of animals and must do humane treatment. That is what we call animal welfare. Now, to me, that's flying in the face of this law that they passed, the spirit of the law even, because there's nothing humane going on here, nothing.
Now, from what I understand, the people aren't even aware of what's going on. The majority of the citizens have no idea.
No, and that is right, because, again, until this was, you know, it's like anything else. Until you're made aware of something, it doesn't mean that this started yesterday. It's just now is the time. And this is what the dolphins are saying. Now is the time for this to end. That is why angels showed up on the scene. And isn't it amazing that the advocates even called for angels? It's very symbolic, you know. And so we have two warring, if you will, or two diverse factions here. Again, one from people that are like us and our listening audience, and we're crying out in a very peaceful, nonviolent way and saying, stop this. This is inhumane. The way you are handling this is not treating the dolphins with respect. You're not recognizing them for who they are. And so, and yet you have the dolphin killers saying, well, it's pest control because the dolphins eat too many fish. By the way, then, brings up another issue. You know, the dolphins, a lot of times, you know, they're paying the price right now for our behavior, too. This is where our accountability comes in again, because we have been overfishing the oceans. We have been creating an environment for them that is not suitable to them. And where are they going to go? That's their home. You know, they can't move across country like we do. You know, they can't come out on the land or anything. And so we have also been, you know, destroying their environment, their living space. These are all the things right now, again, the dolphins are trying to make us aware of right now, that now is the time, June, that this kind of behavior has to stop. It's not for the meat. It is not for the meat at all. It is for the entertainment business, the captive industry. And being around the big cats, I can tell you that, or any animal that's in captivity, when we take them out of their natural environment, you do not see natural behavior. So we do not learn anything from the animal as far as seeing them for who they are, because they are now having to adapt to a very, very stressful situation. And like with angels, all right, sunburn would not normally be a problem out in her natural environment. It will be now. It's been proven to be a problem to captive dolphins and you know, because they she doesn't have her natural environment to protect her. She's going to have to adjust to a lot of things, including, you know, boredom and injuries and suppressed immune systems, you know, things that we don't even really think of, okay, but we've just shortened her lifespan, all of them, but especially hers, and she's a baby. And so that's another factor, you know, to me, when I was talking with the dolphins and everything, because I was not only talking with her, but a whole family of them, and they were talking about the loss of innocence that we also as a species have lost, that they're trying to help us regain, to reclaim again, and to stop our destructive ways. And so as we become more aware of not only the real motivation behind this, which really boils down to money, that's all this is money. You know,
I'm sorry. I just want to make a comment. This was such a great way to phrase how these fishermen and other people that are not understanding what their actions are about. A friend of mine named Ingrid made a comment. She referred to them as currency species. And I thought that was just really, you know, a perfect way to describe the dolphins and other beings that are being hunted, whether it's for their flesh or to be placed in a marine park where basically they're being exploited for our amusement. And, you know, folks, I just want to mention something. Maybe about 20 years ago, I remember going to SeaWorld. It was the only time that I went down there, and I got sucked into the whole thing. You know, this is before my whole journey to veganism and whatnot, and I was captivated by all the different amusements and whatnot, and they really do a great job of making you think that, oh, this is a place where these beings have a home, where they're cared for. And it is eye-opening. I remember watching Blackfish. Someone on social media tweeted it to me the night that it was airing, and I, as many of you know, I've been very involved with the decline of our global pollinators due to the neonicotinoids, and that's been a very big issue for me. And I see this tweet about Blackfish, and I cried. I cried throughout the whole thing, and so many other people connected with me on Twitter, on Facebook, and expressed their opinions, expressed their upset, and especially with what's going on with the dolphins, it's horrible. This has really just got to end. We really need to think about what our actions are. And another comment that is I'm seeing frequently throughout social media is from grandparents who have newborn grandchildren who are asking, are there going to be dolphins around for when my grandchild is old enough to, you know, understand who they are and their place in this world? And a lot of parents, new parents, and, you know, so many teenagers are starting to speak up. This is really becoming not just an issue for the people of Japan, but it is a global issue. Go ahead, Laura.
It is a global issue, and again, I think the thing that this really raises, to me, this really raises an ethical question from the standpoint of where we are poised as a human species right now, and that is, you know, should they be hunted at all? Because, again, you know, they are recognized, they've been granted rights as non-humans in India. India has recognized their awareness, their sentience, their intelligence. So, number one, the ethical question is, should they be hunted at all? Now, I'm sure everyone who is listening, we need to think about that. You know, I personally don't believe that they should be hunted at all, but I recognize them for who they are. And to me, going out and killing a dolphin would be like killing any other thing that has awareness and who is conscious. They have very deep emotional lives, and so they are very, very aware of what's going on. They suffer. They feel the pain. They go through agony. And while they are being killed in this inhumane way, the amount of suffering is, I can't even put it into words. I can't. When I was talking with the dolphins, it was a very, very, very difficult session for me because I had no words. It was just all emotion and the amount of heartache and the grief and the sorrow and asking for forgiveness, you know, because we didn't really know who they were, and we really didn't have the awareness of what we were doing to another species. And that's the first thing. Morally, culturally, is there any justification for this cruel and wasteful slaughter of these sentient beings? I personally don't believe so, but even with, notwithstanding my opinion here, you know, this is not a cultural hunt. This is not a traditional thing. It hasn't been around that long as far as what they are doing now. And so this doesn't go back hundreds of years. So it's not justifiable as far as a tradition that goes way back. It does not. What, the last 45 years, I think, or something, they had something like in 1933 and another one, I think, what, in 1946 or something like that. But basically, this is very, very new, relatively new, okay? And but also, again, the entertainment business, if you go back and start connecting the dots as far as when these marine parks started becoming popular and, you know, SeaWorld and everything, I think we're going to see a connection here that we can sit and look at and go, wow, that's kind of interesting. You know, is this coincidental? I don't know. You know, but it at least gives us information to think about, you know. And also what we're talking about the children, June, what are we teaching our children? What are we teaching them? And especially by allowing these kind of hunts, let alone inhumane hunts, to go on as though there's not enough violence that they're exposed to every day anyway through video games and TV, et cetera, but also supporting the captive industry. Because it is like the zoos and everything. We don't see what is being done to these animals in order to make them animated so that they'll entertain us. And I can assure you, it's not what you see. We're not seeing anything natural or normal about this.
Laura, I remember my very first conversation with Carol Baskin, the founder of Big Cat Rescue, about circuses and actually zoos, mm-hmm. for that matter. And I had never been to the circus, and I remember she gave me such an in-depth view as far as what really happens at the circus, how the animals are treated, and how some of these organizations go about obtaining the animals, exploiting them so that they behave in a certain way for our entertainment. And the bottom line is it's deplorable. With the marine parks, once again, they are very convincing as far as all the different amusements and the tricks and this and that. And the bottom line is, you know, what are we doing? And what I'd like to know is, since you have the capacity to communicate to the dolphins and you have a better understanding of the human consciousness, I would think personally, after Fukushima, that these people would really be thinking before they act. I know after Hurricane Sandy, that was a very big wake-up call for many people in the Northeast, and people are looking at life very differently. They're not taking things for granted. They are trying to improve the environment, and they're really thinking before they act. I can't say that's true for 100% of the people, but I know a lot of people, it really rattled their cage. Now, with Fukushima, you would think when you have some sort of catastrophe like that occurs, that they would really be more conscious of their actions, especially something so barbaric.
Well, and June, you know, I think that there's a great possibility here that a few are making a bad name for the many, because, again, I don't think the Japanese people are probably aware of a lot of what's going on, because I know even in our own country, we're not always aware of what's going on until it's brought to light.
I know. 11 million people will be tuning into the Super Bowl, and not many of them are aware of what's going on.
Correct. And so until we're all judged, of course, in the collective. But this, again, you know, as you said, this is a global concern now. And times are different. We're not in that same space. We really aren't. 2012 came, and there were changes. And so now we're in a whole different space. I don't know if, you know, if the people that are listening are experiencing some chaos in their lives and things that, you know, that avoid work aren't working, and, you know, relationships are breaking up and losing jobs and a lot of different things that are happening right now. and you're feeling very disoriented and not sure, you know, well, what do I do now, you know, and that I keep doing this over and over and over trying to get the result that I want and it's not working. Well, that's because we truly are not in the same place that we were a year ago, even 6 months ago. And what is happening now is that we have to come together as a global community. And it's going to take the unity, a unified stand, in order to, this now is what the dolphins are calling the heart dream. It really is. It's a coming together of the heart and reaching out and helping one another. Because if you look at this symbolically, the dolphins, they are intelligent beings. Okay, well, we are also. They're aware. Now, I know there's a question on if humans are aware or not, but I'm going to give us the benefit of the doubt and say, yes, we are. And but also they have a very distinct social structure, and we do too, okay? And they are very, very social, very communicative. Well, we are also. And so now that their families are being torn apart, I'm sure some of us can relate to that also. And things are happening that we don't understand. We're having to really make other people aware of our plight, where maybe before, you know, we wouldn't reach out because we grew up in that time that, you know, no, you've got to kind of, you just got to suck it up and do it, you know, but that, we're not there anymore. We have to reach out and make people aware. We have to ask for help. That's what the dolphins are doing right now. They're asking for our help to make us aware of what we're doing to ourselves, because, again, they're reflecting back to us. What is happening is a direct mirror, if you will, and animals do mirror our inner landscape. In other words, they help us understand what is inside of us that we might not be aware of, okay? And, you know, we might not even have had a belief or an opinion or any feelings at all about the captive industry. Maybe we haven't even thought about it. You know, what the animal went through. Maybe we've gone there to SeaWorld and, you know, really liked the dolphin show and or the whale show or whatever and enjoyed it. Never gave it any thought what it did to the animals, how the animals even got there to begin with. And then what kind of a process they went through in order to perform those tricks. Going beyond that, is that even normal? Do you see dolphins doing those kind of things out in the wild? I live on the intercoastal down here on the Gulf. See all this stuff going on. Yeah, you see them, you know, hopping out of the water, jumping and teaching the babies and a lot of stuff and everything. But you didn't see them doing tricks. You didn't see them do all these things that you go and when you go to one of the entertainment centers, marine centers, you don't see that in the wild. That is not normal behavior. And so, you know, but then now we're starting to become aware of that. We're becoming aware that, wow, you know, I wonder what that animal did go through. I wonder what the trainers did. I wonder, you know, well, what exactly was that process? You know, can you explain the training process? What kind of methods did you use in order to get that dolphin to stand up on a time flipper and go backwards and or whatever they're doing? You know, what's going on behind the scenes, you know, that I'm not aware of? That's what the dolphins are making us aware of now when I talk with them. They're wanting us to really start to ask questions. You know, what are we doing? Because whatever we're doing to them, we're doing to ourselves. And you can clearly see that. Yes?
I was going to say, one thing that we do need to remember is the health of the ocean really has a direct impact on us. And many people don't realize that.
Absolutely.
They feel, you know, the ocean, oh, it's there, you know, it'll clean itself up. But if we don't have a healthy marine ecosystem, if you will. Our own existence is at stake. We're depending upon all of those beings to produce the oxygen that we need to live.
Again, we're becoming well aware of our interconnectedness. We're becoming aware that we can't do anything anywhere that doesn't affect everything everywhere, period. That's the awareness now that we're coming to. And so when we are making our daily decisions, this is, and if you think about this message from the dolphins, it's really pretty incredible. It again, illustrates how intelligent they are and how, you know, they really are beyond our awareness in a lot of different ways. And they're trying to help lead us, to help us through this journey, this critical time that we're in, which, by the way, is a cycle that has occurred many times throughout our history. Greg Braden is an excellent scientist who has a lot of research on the ice cores and everything, and so we're just going through another cycle we have been that repeats itself. But we get into these critical areas, and again, with the dolphins, and we're really not off the track here when we're talking about this, because this is also related that, as you know, we're competing now for resources. We're competing against each other. We're still exploiting the animals. We're really competing with them. And in past times, that's when civilizations have been destroyed. Again, we're at a critical point now. I'm very optimistic we're going to get through this, but I'm optimistic because I know that the animals are a key, a vital key to our survival, and they're making us aware of how we have been, and we have the opportunity to make a different choice now, that it's a win-win for everybody. Because the planet can heal itself. We have the technology, you know, that can heal, that can help put things back in balance, okay? We just need to start acknowledging them and using them, and the greed thing, you know, we just all have to start, even it starts with us. It has to be sustainable. That was another message from the dolphins. You know, there's nothing sustainable. What they're doing is not sustainable, because after, if they go extinct, what is next?
Well, you're looking at a lot of different species that are on the verge of extinction. Last night, well, it's nothing new to me, but it was on the evening news. NBC did a story about the crisis that's occurring with the monarch butterflies. Now, that's something that I've known about for quite some time. And the whole issue with the bumblebee decline, the honeybee decline. Last year in America, not to get off on a tangent, but last year in America, the commercial beekeepers had a hard time just trying to pollinate the existing crops. And this year, it'll be interesting to see what they're able to do. Now, the prices of food will be skyrocketing, and it's basically because we are making one enormous toxic of the earth. It's just getting to that critical point where we're destroying so much, we're going to destroy our own species.
And how many dolphins are being wasted also that then are not selected to the marine entertainment businesses and or for their high value to whoever is purchasing them, they're being released back out. A lot of those dolphins will not survive. They won't be able to survive on their own. They have a certain social order and everything, and it requires everybody. And again, the message, I think to sum up, that the dolphins are presenting to us the opportunity right now through this horrific, barbaric practice that is continuing, is all of us have the opportunity to sit and ask ourselves, you know, number one, what can I do to help this situation right now? And there's lots of things that we can do. There's lots of petitions. I know Sea Shepherd has petitions, and there's some other things on the Internet that we can find and give voice to and everything. We can write letters. We can keep tweeting and putting it on Facebook, trying to get the word out to people who don't know what's going on and keep the pressure on the people who are the decision makers. Okay, that's one thing that we can do. Another thing that we can do for the dolphins is, again, send prayers. And I know that that sounds, you know, to some people like, well, you know, how's that going to help them? It always helps. They're asking for our help in whatever way we can give it to them. So however people want to pray or to send energy or bless them or put bubbles of protection around them and or even, you know, kind of put a beautiful shield there so that maybe, you know, the dolphin sense energy, you know, where they won't be captured. There's all kinds of things that we can do that way to help them, okay, and keep focused on the solution that we want, not on the problem as far as, you know, giving a lot of gratitude, yes, that the dolphins are, you know, this has ended, this practice has ended, period. We have to keep, this is a way of manifestation, but we've got to keep focused on the solution now and know that this is going to end. You know, we're being very patient, we're being very peaceful and everything, but this is going to end where this, we will look back and just cry, you know, think that we were that unaware, that unconscious, that we could do this to another species, another sentient being. And in our own lives, again, this is a global thing. And so think about what we're doing the next time that we want to be entertained. Who is entertaining us? You know, what has gone into that ordeal? You know, what has that animal gone through? You know, and what is it really worth it, you know, for a few hours of entertainment, considering that their whole life now is spent in captivity against their will, doing unnatural things and being stressed out and having no way of escape ever, ever.
Laura, we have – oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Laura, I was going to say we have some callers that were – patiently or who have been patiently holding, so I'd like to just take a moment to just let them express their feelings. We've been asking people if they want to call in. Unfortunately, we're at the tail end of the show, so caller with area code 865.
Yeah, that's Chris.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I'd like to thank you both for doing this on the air. Hopefully it'll reach a lot of people. The more we reach, the better it'll be. Laura, you were talking about, you know, being able to feel these dolphins. I know from a personal standpoint I could feel everything, especially watching that every single live feed that the Sea Shepherds do. Just rips from the inside to the outside. And I'd love so much to be able to get people to understand how I feel about it. And it's like sometimes it's frustrating because I have a large list of friends on my Facebook and, you know, would think, you know, they're animal activists, and when only 1 to 10 might say something, it gets a little frustrating. So having to get past that frustration, and I'm to a point that people who don't want to hear it then simply click the unfriend button. But I think overall, as humans, I've got a theory that the circle of life was created before we were created. And everything worked fine before we stepped in, and our purpose was to join in the circle and not step in and stop everything that comes to us and control us. And it seems like that's what the humans are set out to do, is control everything that's on this planet. And that's one reason why the planet's in the shape it's in. I'm at a standpoint, I've contacted the Prime Minister so often that I feel like I'm his best friend on his Facebook page. But it's like I'm at a standpoint of what what can we say to reach these people that see these posts that we're posting daily, the live feeds and everything? How can we, like, just grip them and go, hey, this is what's going on. Stop looking away.
Well, that's a great question. And my approach has been that, again, I've gone back to, you know, they've been granted rights as non-humans. They've been recognized for their intelligence and their sentience, okay? And that, again, it's an ethical question. And also that I don't think that they don't want their legacy, the Japanese people don't want their legacy to be one in which it leaves a trail of blood. And it's a global consideration now. People are making up their minds about how they feel about Japan based upon this right now. And is that the image that they want to keep projecting, not only now, but for future generations? Because I don't think it is.
Well, it's like, you know, I know June is on Facebook. As a matter of fact, we're both in the same group. Hey, June, I finally recognize who you are. But it's like, you know, we see the animal abuse photos and everything because, you know, some people think we're not fighting for, you know, the rest of the animals on this planet. We are. But right now this is going on. We've got live feed. We've got something that people can see rather than a still life photo that could be photoshopped and just somebody to, you know, yank our animal, you know, sympathy chains. And it's like, you know, with the live feed, I think that was the best thing that Sea Shepherds could have ever done because we see it happening. And, you know, I've been told by friends, you know, oh, stop watching it because, I mean, I'm going into work, my eyes are swollen, you know, from crying and because there's nothing I can do. But it's
A lot of people feel the same way as you, Chris. I mean, doesn't matter if you're male, female, young, old, everybody is outraged. They're disgusted, and they just can't believe that this is going on.
Well, you know, I was told, you know, don't watch the video, and I simply told my friends, look, if I don't watch, I don't act. By watching this and having my emotions just stripped from the inside out and feeling, you know, everything that these animals are feeling because I do feel it. It's like it makes me act. It makes me want to contact prime ministers, our officials here in the United States, and people across the world that I would never, you know, ever think about contacting. And, you know, bring it and just keep putting it in people's face. People, this is what's going on. You've got to see. Yes, it's heartbreaking. Yes, it's going to tear you up if you have any sympathy towards an animal. But if you don't watch, you're not going to act. And so, you know, some are starting to get into it. I've got some Canadian friends that are now, you know, they're joining right along. They'll share my statuses. They'll look for their own things. They're entering into the same groups, you know, to be active about what can we do to stop this. And it's baby steps. And, you know, of course, it doesn't seem like it's happening fast enough because every single day, we lucked up today, we've got another Blue Cove today. But every single day that those boats go out, my heart just sinks. And it's like, just please don't let them come back with the pod because we know what the doom of the pod is going to be. As far as SeaWorld goes, somebody wrote an excellent blog that has a list of all the orcas and things like that that SeaWorld has handled and how many have died that SeaWorld doesn't, you know, advertise about. Because, you know, like you said, SeaWorld, oh, we're here to save it. No, you're the reason Taiji exists and has a job. So we've got to work on these people that, you know, thinking going to any dolphin place or anything like that is every time you buy that ticket, you're encouraging those fishermen to go out into that cove and force animals in. So
Chris, I think
there's two things we've got to tackle this. So it's just mainly I've been racking my brain even when I'm at work. I work in a wildlife habitat in the Great Smoky Mountains, and I see our wildlife constantly being hounded by people, you know, in the middle of their habitat, and it's heartbreaking and it's frustrating. But it's like, you know, what can you do or say to make these people realize, look, this is their home, leave them alone. And as far as the ocean goes, we haven't invaded the ocean. There's no excuse for any marine life to face the plight of life that they face. I mean, land, yeah, we've got to accept the zoos because we're wiping out, you know, the bears' habitat. We're wiping out lions' habitat and everywhere else because we have to keep on building and populating. But in the ocean, there's no excuse for any marine life to come out of that ocean to be on display in a place like SeaWorld or any other place, aquarium, that has dolphins and orcas or anything like that.
Well, I think, again, you know, when I was with the Cat Rescue, the key is education, and it is about continuing to spread the word, share, 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 because that, I think when most people know what's going on, they're going to be appalled, and they would take action. I believe that most people just don't, are not aware of what's going on. And so, you know, just keep educating and just don't give up. Know that, you know, these dolphins, and by the way, they are the guardians of the water. They have a very specific purpose here. And so, you know, we just have to, again, keep putting the pressure on. I send out emails to all my people, even in my emails, my newsletters every month, I have, you know, an opportunity to take action on a couple of things every month and just keep sharing.
Yeah, well, you know, some people are like, you know, when we were watching that pod of 250 being corralled the way they were, people are like, you know, why don't they fight back? Well, a dolphin wasn't created to fear a human. It was created to help a human. Because you hear, I mean, you can Google and see how many tales you've got where dolphins have saved humans' lives. And if a dolphin was, let's say, like a bear, that's, you know, its instinct is to fear a human, then we wouldn't have this issue right now because they would know when they saw those boats coming to take off. Now, I had to educate myself, well, you know, unfortunately, Flipper, you know, that was my favorite show as a child. And little did I, you know, at the time I didn't have a clue, just like kids today don't. But it's like, you know, I'm thinking, well, jump over the net, you know, just swim over the net. And I had to look it up and educate myself why these dolphins wasn't just simply jumping over the net. That's what we've always seen them do. And, you know, and Flipper and other, you know, TV shows and stuff, and, you know, found out why they don't. So, you know, I educated a lot of friends that were asking the same question. Why don't they just go over the net? And, it, you know, I had to explain to them why. Because when they don't know what's on the other side of the net, they're not going to go over it. So it just, it's got to figure out what we can, we got to hit something. And with the Japanese people, we'll have to treat them kind of like the Trojan horse, I guess. You know, where we send in and educate them and then let it spread from within and then finally come to Taiji.
Well, Chris, everything that you're doing. Oh, sorry, Laura, go ahead.
No, real quick, the Japanese people have always been interested in image. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How they appear. And so to approach the Japanese, I took the approach that they're really concerned about how they appear to the rest of the world. And so my approach was, is this the image you want to project? Is this really what you want to be known for? It doesn't align with who you really are. In other words, there's a disconnect here, and the global community is making up their mind right now. You know, you're teaching children to hate you because you're killing these dolphins. Is that really what you want? I don't think so. You know, we need each other. Countries need each other now. We are in a global community. We can't do things by ourselves. Even countries, we need other countries. We're not there anymore. And so I think the Japanese, again, I think a small group is making the Japanese people, I know several Japanese people, and they're appalled, you know, and to even be associated with all of that, they're horrified.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, we have to start here. No more buying tickets. Stop the demand for this. It's like the exotic cats. Stop the demand. You
exactly.
Know? And then keep, you know, and educate the children. Yes, we love them, but let's go out in their natural habitat and see them, not somewhere where they're captive and, you know, all the things. And children, I think, now grow up so quick. They can handle a lot of things. They're pretty savvy, you know, and share with them this is not natural. You know, this is cruel and abuse. Even
well, children know what's wrong. They know immediately when something is right and when something is wrong. And I think the best thing that we can do is to keep doing the things that you're doing, Chris, the things that I'm doing, the things that so many people, including Laura, are doing, which is to keep posting the messages. If somebody doesn't like it, hey, you know something? I have a global audience of over 3 million listeners. I'm in the top 1% of influencers on social media. I have some people that will say, oh, can't you talk about something else? Hey, you know something? It's a free country. Go, you know, unfollow me. I don't care. My feelings will not get hurt. You know why? Because for every message that I put out there, there just might be one person that I raise awareness with, and they are able to take a second look at what's going on, or first look for that matter, and say, oh, my goodness, this is just really out of control, and it's got to stop. So don't be discouraged. Just keep moving forward.
That's what I'm doing. I'm not giving up on this.
The big message here is, and I want to make sure everybody really gets this, the Daltons are impressing upon us at this point in our history as a human species. We are literally at a turning point. In other words, we can choose another way. I'm not sure we're going to like that direction. We probably won't be here at a certain point, or we can make another choice. And so, because they are so intelligent, they are so aware, they are bringing us a message of urgency for our being. Yes, we see them paying the price now, but guess who's going to pay the price later if we don't make a different choice now? That is their message.
It just breaks apart. I put something on my status the other day that, you know, we claim, here we are, you know, you have to wonder about humans, half of the humankind, that'll take the second most intelligent species and kill it, and then turn around and claim themselves to be the most intelligent. And, you know, and then you've got the other part that's turning their heads to it. So the intelligence of the humans really need to be rethought. You know, you need to rethink it, because, you know, if we can allow this to go on and turn our heads to it, maybe we're not the most intelligent after all.
Yeah.
No, but as we're killing them, we're killing ourselves, and that's what we don't realize, because we're not being speared in the back of the neck today. We're not being rounded up today and being killed.
Exactly.
Not yet.
Chris,
you.
Chris, I just
want to
say...
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Chris, I just want to say thank you so much for calling in. Actually, we are out of time, but I just want to say thank you so much to all of the callers. Laura, it has been wonderful having you back on the show and sharing all the wonderful messages that you have, as well as the inspiration and just the fact that we need to keep working together. So thank you once again.
Absolutely. And thank everybody for everything you're doing.
And thanks for having me. Hey, thank you all very much for doing this. From
and
everybody.
Folks, oh, you're very welcome. And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone, or great evening, rather. And don't forget to check theorganicview.com, where the information about what you can do will be listed. Thanks, everybody.